From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Paul, Mission Control Deck, and most importantly, you are you. You are here, and that makes this Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. A quick check-in, as we want to do recently. How are you guys feeling?
Feeling good. Did some traveling. Now I'm back. It's good to be with you guys.
Good to be with you, dude, in the sacred space. That is Stuff They Don't Want You to Know.
That's right. Hey, I got to know none of you will ever hear it. But I got to be on an episode of Ridiculous History this weekend.
That's right. That's right.
And the reason that no one ever will ever hear is because we forgot to record it.
Yeah.
We recorded a version of it.
That's true.
While you were on adventures, Matt.
Well, there we go. See, it was just an ephemeral moment that occurred, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I hope you guys did too.
Oh, gosh. You saved the show.
Okay. I don't accept your what you say, but it was a lot of fun.
Well, let's paint a picture real quick. Matt was the voice of the super producer figure in the scenario, much like super producer Paul, Mission Control Deca. But he was super producer Matt, the Madman Frederick, and he decided it would be fun, and it ended up being very fun, if he was off stage, like the voice of God, like the man behind the curtain, and he chimed in with great quotes and did voices and sound effects, and it was just a delight, man.
All I said were words written by Mr. Ben Bolin.
Whoa. A lot of those were quotations from Richard Warren Sears.
Okay, well then, big ups, Richard.
And you did some great reenactments, so I hope you will be able to join us for a recorded episode of that show one day. You also, can we mention this on air, you were in New Orleans?
I went to CrimeCon and just hung out for a little bit, met a wonderful couple with the last names White and Black. They were really awesome, and I did some moderating of a panel.
But it
was a lot of fun.
We've been doing more and more of these panel things recently. No, Paul, I know that despite trying to cajole you into talking on the show, it's not really your bag. So maybe for a check-in with you, we can get a thumb up or a thumb down. Is this a thumbs up or thumbs down day? Oh, that's a vigorous thumbs up.
As a specific follow-up question, Paul, I saw you at the movies the other day going to see a film. Was that a thumbs up or a thumbs down film? Double thumbs up. You got to remind me what it was called again. Diamantino. And it seemed like a really kind of interesting, twisty, not sci-fi, but kind of an interesting, absurdist, weird kind of ride. I'm looking forward to checking it out.
All right.
Well, here we are again, folks, and we hope that your check-in with yourself has gone well. Feel free to tell us about it. If you discovered something especially strange, you can. You don't have to wait. You can just pause the episode and call us now because we have a call-in number.
That's right. We're
1-833-STDWYTK.
Does all of us saying it once make it more or less intelligible?
Hopefully.
More. Yeah. It's fun. People like rituals.
Yeah, it's true. Well, it feels like a ritual. It feels like we're summoning something when we say that.
And here we are again, folks. Conspiracy realists, longtime and first-time listeners, thank you for tuning in. We have spent several recent episodes diving into the true crime aspects of this show, proven conspiracies, many horrifying or disquieting things that were acts of mundane human beings, just kind of crappy people who were self-important and or had power and wanted more of it. That's kind of how this stuff goes often. But don't worry, we have never forgotten about the supernatural side of this show, the world of the occult, the world of the hidden, the esoteric, the unknown. Today, we are delving into the controversial world of what is called theistic Satanism and the strange story of something called the Order of Nine Angles. Angles, not angels. Well, what the heck is this thing, you might ask? The best way to answer this question is to begin laying down some groundwork first. So here are the facts. Most people are cartoonishly wrong about Satanism. It's just true, you know?
Yeah, when you hear Satanism, you probably think about some of the imagery that I myself have placed into videos about Satanism, robed figures, Baphomets everywhere, horns of goats. And certainly pentagrams, pentacles, all of those kinds of things. The chanting, yes, is definitely one. And, oh, always, almost always black, like just black clothing with some hints of red, or maybe all red with some hints of black.
The head of a goat.
Certainly heads of goats.
The black goat with 1,000 young.
Yeah, sacrifices both animal and human.
Right, right. The idea here is there's a secretive group of humans and maybe some not quite humans opposed to the more publicly dominant narrative, ideology, or religious movements of Christianity, Judaism, Islam, the people of the book, right? Mm-hmm. And the people who worship this monotheistic God who has – in this entity's past, had a conflict with an adversary, sometimes called Lucifer, or Old Scratch, the devil, El Diablo. What are other good devil names? Like the actual devil, not demons.
Satan.
Satan? Yes, Satan, that's the one. Yeah. Here. And that
the Morning Star.
And the Morning Star.
That's a favorite.
Right, right.
God's number two.
The Lightbringer.
That's a really good one.
So, yeah, it gets into that Promethean thing, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea here is for most people, they think of stereotypical Satan or devil worshipers. They're picturing people who accept this sort of supernatural or religious narrative, right? That there is a God and God had an adversary of some sort who had all – is known by these names. This was once an angel, first among the angels, and then it fell in rebellion and it took its fellow mutineers with it. And now these people who worship this fallen angel seek to spread this message and to transform this, the mundane world, into something closer to his infernal vision. They also seem to usually informally refer to Satan as a dude.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's almost – it's interesting how it's seen as – and we actually talked to David Icke briefly about this, how there are these two opposing forces, a force of light and a force of darkness, essentially, or corruption on the other side, like creation and corruption of some sort.
That kind of duality bounces around in a lot of things, right?
Yeah.
In Gnosticism as well. And
Star Wars movies
and some animistic beliefs.
Mm-hmm. I don't really know where I'm going with that. But just to say like that really is such an old – vision of how the universe functions within these sects or within these groups.
So how accurate are these images that pop up when we hear the word, you know, Satanism or Satan worshipers? Luckily for us, they are not very accurate at all. There are several, let's call them genres of Satanism, right? And there are multiple interpretations of things that could be called Satan in these genres, or there are people's interpretation of what this thing called Satan actually means or represents. And without getting too into the weeds on old boy's identity, we'd like to refer you to our earlier video episode that is all about the origins of Satan in Near Eastern and Western ideology.
And we even have a show called Are There Real Satan Worshippers or something?
Oh, we do. We do have that as well. Yeah.
And it delves into almost all the questions you may have like at the beginning of this.
So we're skipping all of that.
Yeah.
So if you pause today's episode to call us and leave us a message telling us how you're doing, which thank you, by the way, if you did, feel free to pause it again and watch those YouTube videos as long as you're not, you know, driving or flying a plane or something like that. Let's assume you unpaused it, and now you know all about the origins of Satan and whether there are real Satan worshipers. As with any religion or religious movement, Satanism has numerous branches. It's more of a convenient umbrella term for some related beliefs rather than any specific dogma because they have vastly different opinions, but they do have some commonalities, right? They have a couple things that they all generally agree on.
Yeah, largely an interest in magic that can be played out in several ways, either like as some sort of psychodrama, which to me is a ritualized kind of performative kind of experience.
Sure.
Is there another way of looking at that?
Well, it's one in which the, you know, we get catharsis, which is why people watch and participate in plays. So it's sort of an empowerment of catharsis or a leveraging of that. So now the person who psychodrama is everywhere. It's in Christianity. It's an innocuous version of psychodrama would be the reenactment of the birth of the Christ child.
Got it.
Which all the kids do in church. But in this stuff, they're like, I, in this role, now am whatever deity.
I see. So really a performative ritual is kind of a good way of looking at it. Or there's another kind of ritual, which is maybe less performative. It would ascribe mystical events and much more of a magical power kind of to these acts as opposed to the psychodrama, which to me, maybe it implies that you're embodying it, but it's more a catharsis rather than some kind of like spell.
The first or the second?
The psychodrama.
Psychodrama, yeah, because the mystical event then would be more
that
of
is,
a spell.
That is more of a spell. That is more of like saying, I am doing this to create this effect, you know, in real time.
And we can also explore an instance of that, but we would want people to know what's going on first.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's one thing. Yes, this interest in magic and the ritualized performance or enaction of magic. But that's not it, right? There's other stuff.
There's also a sense of community, the creation of a community that defines roles and a hierarchy, a relationship between members, somewhere between people who share a mystical pursuit to those who live according to a set of religious belief, a doctrine.
And generally, when you're talking about a lot of this stuff and how they're forming their community, you're talking about people who really see this philosophy of a symbolic Lucifer or Satan, which is more about yourself, your own like the single member's nonconformity to society in almost every way or as many ways as are achievable.
Right. Philosophy thriving on they maybe instead of nonconformity, they might say something like the benefits of being true to oneself.
Yes, and in that way, it's a lot of times about breaking your chains from a lot of societal's norms.
Depending on the type of Satanism.
Okay.
Right? Because, you know, there can be conformity with – there can be internal conformity strictly enforced in groups that are externally nonconforming. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a little bit of a circuitous way to put that point, but
– No, you're right. There's some that focus a lot on individual,
yes,
like the individuality, others on like the actual sect.
Yeah. And of course, the last commonality, not a big spoiler, some sort of reference to Satan, if not worship of a singular entity. And there are many, many Satanist groups, the best known of which today are probably the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey, right? Mm-hmm. And the spinoff of that, I almost called it the sequel of Set, the Temple of Set. It's sort of like how Golden Girls was a spinoff of Maud, but with Satan. That's a deep cut for Golden Girls fans.
Thank you.
So the Church of Satan and the Temple of Set have this sort of low-level hierarchical leadership and kind of a loosely agreed upon thing, right? We agree these following things and then do as thou wilt. So I want to be very careful not to seem disrespectful of anyone's personal religious beliefs. If you were listening to this, odds are you are probably not in the Church of Satan just because there are so many other religions with so many other adherents out there. But your personal beliefs are your own as long as you're not inflicting them on anyone else, you know, or harming someone. It's our opinion that you can do what you want, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Agreed.
So with that all in mind, here are just a few different types of Satanism, right? There's one that I think you're probably alluding to directly there, Matt, rational Satanism. It's secularized. It comes about in the 1960s. It's atheistic, meaning that there's not really a God. There's not calling it Satanism is sort of using Satan as a stand-in for something else. This was under the direction of the famous Anton LaVey, an author and occultist based in the States, who you can find audio and video recordings of. His voice sounds far less sinister than one would initially, you know, assume.
It really does. And I will never understand why he didn't begin going like exclusively by Xander LaVey.
Yeah.
Because his, I mean, having S. Xander
totally
as a middle name, that's powerful stuff.
I always thought he looked like Ming the Merciless from the Flash Gordon movie.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He really does.
Interesting. Yeah, okay.
Well, so, Western society has a thing with bald or shaved head guys and goatees.
But it's a very pointy goatee. It's a particular type of goatee. It's like that super angled kind of one.
Yes. And this gentleman, I'm just going to call him Xander.
Yeah, go for it, man.
Or LaVey.
Do as thou wilt.
See, that's the whole of the law. He created the Satanic Bible. It still, to this day, remains available. You can find it. It's one of the most, at least most available books that you can find about Satanism or the Satanic religion. And he formed this thing known as the Church of Satan that we've already mentioned. It is by far the most well-known. It's the thing that is mentioned – oh, what is that show? Oh, gosh, why can't I think of it?
Dateline 2020.
It's on HBO. It's a comedy about nerds. It's awesome. It's
Big
hilarious.
Bang Theory?
Game of Thrones. Deadwood.
Freaks and Geeks?
No.
Deadwood.
What is it? What's it called, Paul? It's the Silicon Valley. Jesus.
Silicon Valley.
You'll see it mentioned or at least referenced heavily in Silicon Valley, where there's a Satanist character who talks about Anton LaVey all the time. And again, as you said, it's all about atheism. It's about the individual essentially being empowered. And it really does have this nice symbolic mirroring going on between, you know, Satan rebelling against God or whatever the large God is, and then the Satanist rebelling against mainstream culture or mainstream religion.
Right, right. There is a nice symmetry to the structure of the philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. And it's exactly as you said. According to LaVey, neither God nor Satan are actual beings. And this is heretical to many people who believe otherwise, even some Satanists or people who consider themselves such. The only God in this sort of Satanism is the person themselves, the individual. So Satan, quote unquote Satan, is a symbol representing the qualities that Satanists embrace. So it's kind of like they took a character that they thought was cool and didn't think was real, like Superman or something. Yeah. And they said, that's it. Those are the things you want to aspire to be. So invoking the name of Satan and other infernal names is a tool in their rituals to focus one's mind on the manifestation of those qualities and those workings.
And tipping the hat to Aleister Crowley, of course.
No, right. Yeah, yeah. He's still in play.
Have you guys seen Good Omens yet? The new TV adaptation?
I preferred it to the book. I found the book whimsical in a way that didn't really speak to me, but I know I'm going to get some heat for that.
I found that about the show. I couldn't make it through episode one. I thought it was a little too cutesy, and the CGI really called too much attention to itself. I'm going to give it another shot, though. But Crowley is the name of the demon character.
Which is based on the self-styled most evil or wicked man in the world,
right.
Aleister Crowley. Famous sexual predator, heroin addict, and egomaniac.
There you go.
Fun guy to have at parties.
Doing rituals in the middle of the Great Pyramid with his wife.
Well, okay, that's true. I am being a bit flippant about that because I think that guy gets more credit than he deserves. But in some circles, he is considered a pioneer.
I've never done that.
No, I would be surprised if you had. I don't know. It's just we can do an episode on that. Maybe I need to be more fair and come to terms with it. So the problem is that at certain points in Crowley's life, and this is a little bit of a soapbox for me, at certain points in Crowley's life, he demonstrably functions more as a con artist than a true believer in someone's thing. Now, if you are a true believer in something and you're not hurting people, it doesn't matter what someone else believes about it. You know what I mean? It's your decision. But if you are enacting harm on people who, you know, have not agreed to be in your shenanigans or if you are pretending to believe something that you do not believe for the purposes of bilking the credulous, then what are you? You're not a leader of people. You're not a holy being. You're the same as anybody playing a crooked game of three card Monty.
And just for the record, Ming the Merciless and Al, they look exactly the same. Just want to point that out to you guys.
So Noel's holding this. Yeah, I've got comics with Ming the Merciless.
But look, that's them. That's LaVey and Ming the Merciless.
Right.
Yeah, well, LaVey
modeled it after not just
so?
Ming, but several other ones. Yeah, because there are other characters that appear in, what's that, Flash Gordon comics. Do you guys remember Flash Gordon comics?
That's who Ming the Merciless is from.
Okay, yeah, but there's a predecessor. Then maybe I'm thinking of someone else because I swear there's a predecessor.
Maybe so.
In my encyclopedia of supervillains.
I'm just talking about in the movie, in the, you know, with the Queen soundtrack. Flash, oh, master of the universe. You know that one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
So in comparison in contrast, rather, to the Church of Satan philosophy, there are theistic Satanists. These are what we think about, right? If we're the average person, we're thinking about what a Satanist is. To members of this branch, Satan is not just some symbol nor some clever, useful metaphor. Instead, Satan is a genuine, actual entity.
Yeah. These are the ones you could refer to as devil worshipers.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. They might worship associated demons as well. Yeah. Different groups of theistic Satanists may have differing interpretations about the nature of this being, but they all agree it's real. It's similar in a way to the process Church of the Final Judgment, how they would have some Lucifers and then they would have some, what are they, Sets or Satans? I can't remember. But some worship this sort of light-bringer Promethean aspect, and others worship this punishment and fascist aspect. So examples of this include things like the Temple of Set, the Golden Girls to the Maud of Church of Satan, and then something called the Order of Nine Angles, also known as ONA or O9A. And a lot of these sorts of self-styled organizations, just like Scientology or just like federal government agencies, there's a huge emphasis placed on the on initialisms and acronyms.
So let's talk about how they were founded, but let's do that after a quick word from our sponsor. All right, we're back. Let's talk about the Order of the Nine Angles. So, according to, you know, one of the, I guess, the common story that you can see people within the Order of the Nine Angles, which are, we're going to get into it later. It's a bit hard as an outsider to discern what is what, as we'll find later in the episode within the Order of the Nine Angles. But of the things that are publicly facing in the virtual world, the common story is that the organization itself was founded sometime in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as it continued along, it started to gain more and more attention, especially in the 1980s, and a lot of it had to do with activism, specifically neo-Nazi activism, which tied this group into its self-described traditional Satanism.
Right. At times, the Order of the Nine Angles has been described as one of the world's most extremist and dangerous of satanic groups, and it's known for its support of far-right militant movements, overwhelmingly racially or religiously motivated. Vice called it the most secret of satanic groups as well, claiming that it advocates for animal sacrifice, human sacrifice, and reshaping the world entire to one's will. So what is the true story? Where does the Order of Nine Angles come from, and how do the rumors stack up to the facts? Here's where it gets crazy. First version, according to their story, it's very much like you said, Matt. First version, it's established in the 1960s by this shady lady who's usually called, not an intentional rhyme, usually called Lady Master. And she had previously, according to the story, the tale they spin, been involved in a, quote, secretive pre-Christian tradition that survived in the Welsh marches of Western England. So before the time or the rise of Christian ideology, there was this secret mystery religion, and this person inherited the secrets passed down through ritual, through oral folklore, through rites and passages, unbeknownst to the greater world. And the O9A, or Ona, believe that Satan is one of two acausal beings, acausal being something that is not dependent upon cause for it to exist, something that sort of prefigures the if-then reality of human existence. These eternal beings, there are two of them, going back to your thing about duality, right?
Mm-hmm.
One is Baphomet, who is female in their mind, and one is Satan, who is male in their mind. And then in 1973, a guy calling himself Anton Long was initiated into this group, eventually attaining the title of Grand Master. And he really popularized the group with other groups because he was quite prolific. He was the Alexander Hamilton of his group. He wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote. Man, the kid is nonstop, etc. Other quotes from the Hamilton Broadway show. Because of this, you'll hear a lot of people say that he was really the de facto founder. It's suspected that the person who was the original, they called her the Lady Master, eventually had a child with the person calling themselves Anton Long and relocated to Australia, at which point Long began running the show.
There you go. Yeah, you'll find different versions of it. One in this website called occult-study.org talks about how it was Anton Long who actually, and again, this is probably likely from whoever is calling themselves, like you said, Ben, Anton Long, from his own writings, essentially, where he brought together three different groups, essentially three different secret orders. Nocturlians, the Temple of the Sun, and the Camlad tradition, that this guy brought them all together and created this thing called O9A.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you'll find various versions of it throughout the internet.
Right. They expanded on the order's concepts and their ideas in all these publications, which we'll get into. And they tied it into some contemporary politics of their time.
There you go.
In 1988, they made their journal Fenrir, which was another sort of rung in the ladder of walking up to public prominence, which is what they always wanted. With each publication, this group sought to establish links with other neo-Nazi Satanist groups, which are totally a thing. And there are more than you might imagine. And by that, I mean not just people who are being profiled because they're fans of metal.
Well, like, yeah.
People honestly do consider themselves Satanist.
Yeah, and this is where we get into the full society
mm-hmm.
and some of the strange occult beliefs and actions of portions of the Nazi party, or at least some of the upper echelon of the Nazi party.
I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because the order at times has preferred to describe its ideology as Nazi occult. And it's strange the way these things become ephemeral, right? The names can be worn and discarded like old jackets.
Yeah, or reused and reshaped, and now it means something completely different.
Redefined, yeah. Right? Yeah, like, you know, that's also just a human thing. That's just a mundane thing. There is some magical power in names for people who are adherents of those belief systems. But take the term neoliberal versus liberal. Liberal means something very different in the international sphere than it does here. And the leading conservative party in Australia, for instance, Australia just had an election as we're recording this. The leading conservative party is the Liberal Party, I believe.
There you go.
I don't know. Names, what are they? Maybe they are all old jackets.
So the order prefers to describe itself, its ideology rather, as Nazi occult. So that's promoting a supernatural system of thought that condemns liberal Judeo-Christian society and longs for a new imperial age created by a sub-Nietzschean Superman figure called the Vindex. And that is not Windex, it's pronounced with a German accent. It's the Vindex with a V.
That's right. They.
That's true.
Yeah, it is. And they Anton Long to do that, right? Okay.
And ultimately, the idea is to expand to the stars and to bring this ideology outside of the terrestrial sphere.
Woo!
Yeah. I mean, it's an ambitious belief system.
It sounds like they want to be stormtroopers, you know what I mean? Like full on the whatever the new order is in the new Star Wars mm-hmm. systems. It feels like that to me.
And they also did some really disturbing stuff the way it's tied up in this kind of love of fascism.
Yeah.
And this again, I don't know how sincere it is, this worship of characters like Adolf Hitler. So that's the first version. The second version's a little different, and it dives into more mundane matters. According to observers and commentators, and you'll find a surprising amount of literature on this, there is no real Anton Long. This is a pseudonym used by a British former neo-Nazi named David Myatt. I think it's Myatt, M-Y-A-T-T, who either used this organization to further his own ends or created an elaborate hoax out of whole cloth. He's known in Britain for being a hardline national socialist or neo-Nazi, advocating national socialism as well as violence. In the past, he's been implicated in physical beatings of people. And usually when these sorts of characters are implicated in violence, they attack in packs. You know what I mean? So like a group of people jumping a single person. The 09A grabbed national attention in the global war on terror when the organization was second or even third hand associated with series of murders.
So then this order wanted to, you know, move up, get some more things like not really infiltrate, just bring in other groups to grow their own ranks, right? So they attempted to infiltrate some of these non-satanic Nazi groups or neo-Nazi movements, such as there's one specifically that's mentioned in several publications called the Atomwaffen Division, which is
Waffen,
a,
the Atomwaffen.
Atom, whatever it is. Atomwaffen Division.
Yes.
And it's a U.S.-based organization. And this group, at least its affiliates, killed 5 people in 2017 and 2018.
So this is recent.
This is very recent, and it is a real group. It's just sounds odd.
So from the law enforcement side of things, all this esoterica and occult ritual doesn't really matter any more than, say, like a gang initiation or some kind of really heavy hazing.
Yeah, right. Exactly, because they're not going to – it's useful in that it can identify members of an organization, but to them, you know, imagine if your job is to stop organized crime and gang killings. You want to learn about these groups so that you can, to some degree, predict their behavior and prevent further criminal acts. But you're not, you know, odds are if you're in the FBI or something, you're not going to stay up at night worrying that these people may curse you. You're more concerned about whether they have access to firearms and explosives. It's a, you know, it's kind of a more grounded or mundane look at this. However, I do have to say on a side note, I did find 2 Freedom of Information Act requests to the FBI about this Order of 9 angles. And in both cases, the FBI responded by saying that they searched and they didn't have anything.
Well, there you go.
So maybe they're not a big deal. I don't know. Myatt, for his own right, has also, in addition to denying things like the Holocaust, denied that he ever went by the name Anton Long. He also went through iterations where he practiced as a Buddhist monk, and then he embraced radical Islam, praising Al-Qaeda and attempting to unite Nazis and Islamic terrorists.
That's nightmare material.
That's an odd couple, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seems strange, right? But so we already see in the origins of this thing, there is a bit of duplicity. The question is whether it's purposeful or whether it's just kind of bungling, you know what I mean? And how much of this is meant to be taken seriously? How much of it is meant to be believed? I think we mentioned a little bit about their process. Noel, you mentioned Vindex. What about the rest of their beliefs? What's their plan?
Yeah, so they believe that civilization has to be destroyed from within, completely undermined and disassembled, dismantled. So the adherents are actually encouraged to be pretty awful people, like as, you know, part of their whole prescribed course of making this happen. So that includes things like committing crimes, random acts of violence, sexual assaults, and even this whole like genocide kind of idea, culling human victims.
They also embrace magic. They do share that same commonality that we had mentioned at the top, right? But when we talk about their magic, what are we talking about? I guess that's part of why they're called the Order of the Nine Angles.
All right, you ready for this? I got this from 09A.org, and it's just a post there, and it's talking about what the Nine Angles actually represent. So it says, quote, "Their Nine Angles refer to the nine combinations of the three basic alchemical substances, mercury, sulfur, salt, and these nine angles slash combinations were first outlined in this text." It's from 1974. It's called Emanations of Urania.
Urania.
Who knows? And these nine combinations can be used to symbolize how the causal and acausal are manifest to us. As, for instance, in our psyche, the nexion of causal, acausal that we are via archetypes, personality types, and it just goes on with stuff that I honestly am struggling to understand.
And a lot of this, a lot of writing in this sphere, whether you're talking left-hand path or right-hand path stuff, does tend to be a little bit obtuse. They also practice something that they call the Sevenfold Way. So the Sevenfold Way is a series of steps meant to make someone a practical master of all forms of sorcery, physically, mentally fit. And this way is divided into these seven stages. The stages are neophyte, initiate, external adept, internal adept, master of temple or mistress of earth, grandmaster or grandmistress, and, of course, immortal. Sometimes initiates are described or called novices, and adepts are called priests or priestess. It goes on, magus, magistra.
It's also known as hebdomadry.
Is that our word for today, Matt?
Hebdomadry, or the Sevenfold Way.
How's it spelled?
Hebdomadry.
All right. Someone use that in a sentence and call us. So it's strange when we look at this, because what we're seeing quickly becomes a rabbit hole of occult philosophy and working, again, tied in very much like the Thule Society or Thule Society to these race-based beliefs. And what we pointed out, however, should already be pretty disturbing. The purpose here for the members of this society, by their own statements, are to destroy what we know of as civilization, up to and including human sacrifice, which they do talk about at length and which differentiates them from a lot of other satanic groups. Let's pause for a moment for a word from our sponsors, and then assuming that we have not been killed via magical means, let's explore a little bit more about their work. We made it.
We're still here.
Hooray.
Yes, no one has gotten us by magical, psychic, or more traditional means, so that's good.
Let's check on Paul.
Yep. Oh, he's there.
He's intact.
All right. Whew. Good. I don't know when his eyes turned all black, but, you know, it's
called the Monday. Is what
it's
that's
a
called.
Monday, yeah.
It's more that's of a cosmetic thing, yeah.
Yeah, these kids these days. So they're not this group, the Order of Nine Angles, is not known for subtlety, especially. So they have a book called The Black Book of Satan. Comes in three volumes. These are considered so extreme that they're kept in a special section of the British Library. They're not available to the general public. You have to ask for them at a counter, research purposes kind of thing. That's because these books repeatedly talk about the idea of culling, committing acts of violence and destabilization, up to and including terrorism. And with the act of culling, what's fascinating is one of the steps that they're told to do is to groom someone to voluntarily submit to being sacrificed. That's the ultimate coup there. And they also have an interesting work study program, for lack of a better term, that they send their members on.
Would you believe I just looked up the Black Book of Satan on Amazon, and there is one paperback available used for $864?
Yeah, I would believe that.
I guess they're hard to get a hold of.
That happens with a lot of occult books, yeah. I mean, it may be, too, that someone is either, like, bilking someone, or they have multiple copies and they're just putting them out one at a time. I saw that before. I wonder if anybody does have a copy of the Black Book of Satan.
I found a free download PDF on occultboards.com.
I'm sure it's the real deal.
I don't know.
Ha, yeah, right. Getting a PDF of the Black Book of Satan. I laugh at thee.
That's fair.
So let's get into what is required of ONA members who are going along that sevenfold path, trying to get into one of the Noxiums or whatever they're called.
Yeah, that work study I was mentioning.
Exactly. One of these cells, essentially. So they want people to spend 6 months either just traveling, like hitchhiking, the way you would a traditional traveler along that path, working as either, you know, a burglar, maybe working even as a police officer, or infiltrating some version of an extremist political group where you're just kind of roaming and in working inside one of these other organizations.
Two things that connect with this. This is very inspiring for any of us horror writers in the audience. There used to be a television show maybe in the 90s, early 2000s, that was sort of this scary anthology show called The Hitchhiker.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And the Hitchhiker, the frame was that someone picks up the hitchhiker and terrible stuff happens.
Yeah.
Which was gold. But it makes me see how appealing this could be to people who are fearmongers in the 1980s, 1990s, satanic panic scare here in the United States, where you could say Satanists are all around you. They're low-level criminals. They're hitchhikers. They're living off the grid, you know. They're going to rainbow gatherings or, you know, they're hopping trains. They're avoiding the spotlight of mainstream America. And with the fact that, you know, that seems like just something people would say to sell headlines, right, or get people to tune in to 60 Minutes or something. But here we have a real group saying, yes, go do this for 6 months.
Yeah. It especially what baffles me is thinking that, at least on this list where it was mentioned, saying a police officer would be a good route for this. And I guess it's because you're essentially practicing power over others. I guess there are reasons that a police officer would be, I don't know, on that list.
Yeah, in one passage they said do something that is far outside your previous life experience. But working in law enforcement will give you a Liam Neeson-esque certain set of skills.
There you go.
You know, for physical altercation, tactical thinking.
Well, and that's something we kind of talked about before in this, but when we're mentioning that sevenfold path that you go down to join this group, it is about the psychological, it's about the empowering that, it's about empowering you psychically, it's about empowering you physically and all these things. Mm-hmm. So I guess a police officer would be a really good way to get there.
And from their literature, this has this is weird. I want to see what you guys think of this. So from their literature, they attempt to, quote, undertake the role of extreme political activist and so champion heretical views by, e.g., becoming involved in extreme right-wing activism. They demand this in one of their introductory books. They say, quote, the aim is to express fanaticism in action X and be seen by all right-thinking people as extremist and dangerous. So they want to be the people who are – I don't know. It feels to me like they're talking about edginess for the sake of edginess. You know, like they're going to bust into an alt-right meeting and someone's going to say, well, you know, I just don't think we should they're going to bust into a Tea Party meeting. Maybe let's make it even more innocuous. And then they'll say, I don't think we should pay taxes. And they're like, yeah, additionally, we should burn all the money.
Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, those guys are dangerous.
So they've kind of got this idea of, again, very, very motivated by racism. They've kind of got this idea similar to Joker in The Dark Knight, where they the Heath Ledger Joker, the good one, where they want to just sow chaos indiscriminately. But unlike the Joker, who is a fictional character and exists only to spread chaos for the sake of chaos itself, this group seeks to spread chaos to make it easier to propagate their twisted world and cosmic view.
Wow.
So we see that strange, tragically not necessarily alien marriage of ideology here. The Nazis and the so-called Satanists uniting to pursue goals that are at least non-mutually exclusive.
So for the O9A, fascism is actually seen as a means to an end rather than an end in and of itself, particularly this idea of a sinister dialect that's the key to the aeonic evolution of human civilization into a higher form. But the Magian Nazarene distortion, also known as the Christians and the Jews, is holding back Western civilization, according to this doctrine, from reaching its final step, some sort of evolutionary step, and must be overthrown if humanity is to advance.
So holy war or unholy war.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, and the vision here goes to that thing that you mentioned earlier, Ben, that Vindex.
Yes. Right. Being led by Vindex deep into the cosmos where, Maury mentioned, they'll establish a galactic reich to champion and make known our unique human destiny of galactic exploration and the colonization of outer space. This is from the Dreckian Way, Dreckian. We're not recommending that you check out these books. We're just letting you know that these are the tenets, the goals, and the aims as self-described by this organization.
Oh, yeah. And they really do want to, you know, it's this concept at least of creating a sinister world. But here's the thing. In order to have the world be sinister, you got to make the people that are living in that world or controlling and running that world sinister. So they think this can happen through what they call the practice of genuine modern heresies.
I like that.
I don't mean to poke fun at it, but genuine modern heresies. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, again, taking yourself, the individual person, mm-hmm. through all of these mental and physical trials that, you know, well, I mean, you're going through mental and physical trials, and at the same time, you're also practicing magic with a K. So ritualizations, things, mm-hmm. you're basically, I don't know, you're honing yourself on all possible fronts to become evil, I guess, in a way. Or maybe not the word evil is correct here, but to do the things that the group wants to do.
Well, here's a question. Do you think people that are adherents to this kind of belief system, do they see themselves as evil?
That's interesting.
In some cases, there would be people associating with this because they want to be seen as evil.
But don't they just think that the path of Satan is the better path?
Many probably do, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just wondering if good and evil even enters into it at this point when it comes to your thinking behind getting behind something like this.
I guess that's why I was hesitant to use the term. I guess what I mean is adversarial to the status quo and or the ways in which society are set up and the institutions mm-hmm. that hold that society up.
I'm just getting all big picture about it in my head. It's just interesting to think about the nature of good and evil, and does true evil really see itself that way, or do they just believe that they're actually doing what's best?
It's an interesting question because in many cases, all great villains are the heroes of their own stories, right? And say, I'm doing terrible things, but I'm doing it for a greater reason, right? And there, you know, people have to die, but the world will be better, et cetera, et cetera. The thing that's interesting about some theistic Satanism and why it can be so attractive to people who are already involved in something that puts the bulk of its emphasis on violence in the short term is that there's not too much of a leap to go to something else like this. And one thing that's interesting about the question about regarding seeing oneself as good or evil is that you can get a little bit of a sense, not a 100% reliable sense, you can get a little bit of a sense of how someone sees themselves by what emphasis they place on things. Do they place the emphasis on their ultimate end goal vision? Is that like 70% of this? You know, like most, many religions spend 70% or so of their time talking about how to be a decent person now, right? Or do they spend the majority of their time talking about the violent things they will do to get a vaguely explained thing in the past?
Right.
Or in the future.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, it's tough because it probably varies case by case. But I'm sure in Satanism, there are a few people who think, I am evil. I embrace it. I'm the son of the beast or whatever. And they probably really believe it. Maybe they're misled.
You know, whatever does it for you is what I say. Like we were talking about at the beginning of the show.
If you can use religion and maybe not ritualistically murder people, but if this does it for you, you know, being evil or the idea of being evil and you're not going to, you know, call an entire population, then I say more power to you. But unfortunately, this particular idea involves a lot of these random acts of murder and rape and violence and
right.
Really terrible stuff doing unto the innocent. So can't get behind the 09A here, guys. I'm sorry. Cannot throw my endorsement at this this order.
Which is weird because it was your pitch.
I know. It's true.
And I think it was interesting because I had never heard of this. And this leads us to maybe one of our bigger questions, which we always have to ask with these sorts of groups. Is it a case of Satan's military, a satanic army, or is it a case more of internet bravery? You know, like the order has been referred to as Satan's military, but it seems more accurate to say that the order or the people who claim to be involved with it, because we can't verify a whole bunch of people, seems accurate to say that they are maybe militant in attitude more than organized and violent in person. Because the crimes that can be reasonably traced to 09A affiliates and partner organizations seem to be crimes that were sort of egged on by the group, but not enacted by the group directly. And the 09A was also once dismissed by other occultists as the Order of No Members because this one guy, David Myatt, and I think another guy named Molt appeared to be the only visible figures within the organization. So how much of it is just them writing prolifically under different names? You know what I mean?
The pseudonym aspect I mm-hmm. can see at work here. But again, we did point this out already a little bit, but we have noticed and it's been documented that their growth, this 09A growth has been right alongside other, like I guess what we would call right-wing extremist groups.
Sure. Yeah. Supremacist organizations would be a big one. Neo-Nazi organizations. And this has led to a couple of really strange conspiratorial thoughts. One being there was actually some infighting between members of white supremacy groups and members of this 09A thing because there were people saying, look, guys, I'm just here because I'm a white supremacist. I don't like all this weird hocus pocus stuff. We've lost our way. I'm out of the game. And everyone's like, oh, well, that guy doesn't get it. And then someone else said, you know, I feel like I also fall more on the supremacy now side and like the magic stuff's cool. Like, don't get me wrong, dude. I love metal or whatever. I'm not knocking metal. I am knocking racist, but I'm not knocking metal.
It does make me feel a little bit sad for the people who joined up because they were all about that magic and all about that stuff, and they realized, oh, this is a separatist group.
Yeah, right. There are other people who said, I thought we were just doing rituals.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm down for our infernal lord and master, but I feel like our infernal lord and master should be an equal opportunity employer.
There you go.
So, I mean, we're making a little bit of light of this, but it's a dangerous thing when we see this connection of ideologies. And these people are conspiring in secret. We don't know how much of it is just bluff and bluster on the 09A part. We don't know how much of it even to some degree is taken seriously by all the people. Is it an elaborate hoax? There's a lot of writing out there. But again, it's not as if there is a – center that you can visit, you know. There's not a power structure that is readily apparent to a lot of people, and perhaps that's they've just kept it internal. We do know that at this point, the organization is still considered to be out there, but the views it espouses have mainly caught the attention of law enforcement and governments because of the actions of its affiliates, white supremacist, hard right-wing terrorist groups. At a 2003 UNESCO conference in Paris concerning the growth of anti-Semitism in Europe and abroad, they stated David Myatt, the leading hardline Nazi intellectual in Britain since the 60s.
Who may be, what is it? Anton Long?
Anton Long, has converted to Islam. This was true at the time. He praised bin Laden and al-Qaeda. He called the 9/11 attacks an act of heroism. He urged for the killing of all Jewish people. And he also, he used another name, Abdulaziz ibn Myatt. He supported suicide missions. He has one of the most thorough English language defenses of that. He urged young Muslims to take up violent jihad, which is not Any actual Muslim will tell you that the kind of thing he's calling jihad is not jihad. Observers warn that he's a dangerous man. But since 2010, he claims to have changed. He says, I've rejected Islam, my extremist past. And guys, it's all about loving each other.
Yeah.
That's what he says now. But the extremism seems to carry on. The question now is whether it's legitimate, whether the people who claim to believe it online actually practice it in person. Or, as some have proposed, is the entire thing a hoax? Is it a government front to monitor right-wing groups? Let us know what you think.
That's the most promising for me, or the most silver lining answer for me. It's a front group of some sort that's trying to stop some of these other organizations.
But people still got killed, so they must not be doing that great of a job.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right.
So what do you guys think? Front or legitimate, like, splinter group of real deal Satanism? Let us know. You can hit us up on our Facebook group. We are called Here's Where It Gets Crazy. That's really the funnest way to interact with the show, if you ask me. A lot of members on there posting responses to every episode, like message board style, posting all kinds of memes and topics. It's just a good group of folks.
Yeah, and if you could reach out and just give us, you know, if you've had any interaction with this group whatsoever, if you have any personal stories that you are not – that you don't mind telling us, yeah, reach out to us for sure about that stuff. You can give us a call, like we said at the top, 1-833-STDWYTK. It goes right into the hands of us, particularly to my phone. So whenever you feel like calling, it doesn't matter what time it is, it won't ring, but it'll say, hey, you got a message.
Is that true?
Yeah.
You got a setup like that?
Yeah. Last night, I got a ton of messages.
Huh.
Can you set us can everybody get notifications?
Yeah, if you guys download Ring Central, you sure. Log right. in and use it.
We don't want to burden just you with that. We should you know, yeah. Share the wealth.
We'll shoulder that for you too.
I'm a bit behind, so I need to get up. We had so many great messages too. I actually texted a few people back.
And I thought that listener mail episode was a lot of fun. The call-in. I mean, I was just enamored listening to the messages.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
I could have taken our commentary, but the messages were just great.
Just as a quick story, one person called in on Friday while I was in the hotel. It was at night, and I was working I was looking over the Ridiculous History outline, Ben, that you sent, and this person left four messages in a row, and the fourth one that he sent was about Monster Energy and how maybe some group out there is trying to control us with Monster Energy, and it was while I was finishing one, and it really did give me the heebie-jeebies? Mm-hmm. Gave me the spine-tingling feeling. Like, ooh, maybe someone is trying to control me. Maybe it's you.
That would be monstrous. Yeah. You can also find us on Instagram. You can also find us on Twitter. Hey, you might be saying, I hate all that social media stuff. It's 2019. I'm scared of phones. All I do is use email. Then, boy, have we got some good news for you. You can email us directly. We are
conspiracy@iheartradio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.